Hello, everyone. Before I start the episode, I wanted to say thank you to everyone who has listened, downloaded, and shared this podcast. We are always trying to improve, and all the feedback you have given us has been great. I would also like to encourage you to subscribe to our daily newsletter to stay up to date on the newest podcast episodes, industry insights, and Mercator Advisor Group commentary. Again, thank you to everyone who comes and listens to our episodes, and now, on with the show.
Welcome to the Payment Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. And on today's episode, we're going to be talking about outsourcing. And to help me with that conversation, I have Russell Bennett, the Chief Technology Officer at Freedom. Russell, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Ron. Glad to be here.
Excellent. Now, when we're talking about outsourcing, you know, are there any trends that you're seeing that are coming out? And is this becoming something that's a bit more popular? And if so, in what areas are you seeing it become more popular in?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I think I like to think of partnerships and partnering a lot more than, I guess, outsourcing. I think outsourcing as a term, you know, potentially has some connotations around taking an area of your business and offshoring it to try to get cheaper labor or a different, model of delivery, but the delivery that's effectively still in-house. I think what we're seeing a lot more of is probably a recognition of partnering in the kind of, I guess, financial or technology space. But I don't know whether I'd say that's entirely new. I think it's more about a realization that particularly in financial and banking, circles, that it's really okay to be looking at partnering with and working with new players and fintechs to really try to achieve something that is a lot easier to do when you're partnering than trying to do everything by yourself.
Great. Thank you for that. And I think you made a really great point there that I think probably the word outsourcing needs a better PR manager there. And I think that there are kind of some negative connotations, as you pointed out, to that word. And I think partnering probably is a little bit better of a word. But moving on, so what are some of the biggest benefits that outsourcing offers, especially commercial banks?
I think probably the biggest thing is really the ability to allow different groups or different organizations or banks to focus on what it is that they're good at and work with others that can actually provide additional value to their customers by allowing them to focus on the area where they have expertise. And I think if you look at what's happening a lot in the fintech space, you're seeing a lot of traditional banks that have very stable platforms, very stable brand, a very stable customer base, but effectively bogged down by legacy systems, challenges with resourcing, challenges with budgets, challenges with trying to kind of reinvent a lot of their systems they have in place. And I think what you're seeing is really now them working with partners in a space where they have expertise that can really bring something to help speed to market, help the customer experience, and ultimately kind of help to drive that bank kicking and screaming into the next generation of expectation that I think we all as consumers and users of banks, both in the commercial and kind of in the consumer space, really it's what people just expect nowadays is modern technology, modern services, modern capabilities. And I think in a lot of cases, the traditional banks haven't been able to offer that by trying to do it all by themselves.
Right. Now, if I'm a bank, you know, from your standpoint, what could you tell me about, you know, really making the right choice when it comes to selecting an outsourcing partner?
I think the thing that you have to be, you know, very conscious of as a bank is that one of the things that the banks really bring to the table is that brand name and that recognition. And I think the danger or the risk in partnering with a fintech or an organization that perhaps doesn't have the credibility or the history or in some regards just even the size to be able to work with a bank, they run a risk of reputational damage if things go south pretty quickly. And I think a lot of the time, you know, you can, particularly in this day and age, you know, anybody can put up a website, anybody can put kind of a really good message out there to kind of suggest that they are this organization that can do a lot of things. In some cases, those things are very smoke and mirrors, and I think, you know, banks need to do their due diligence on those providers to make sure that they can actually do what they say they can do and can also scale. Recently we were talking to one of our banking partners who was working with or looking at working with a third party, And on the surface, it sounded pretty amazing what it was they could do. But when you dig a little bit deeper, it was an organization with really four or five people that were running the business. And then they'd actually themselves outsourced all of their development offshore. And I think from a banking point of view, that poses a pretty big risk to align your brand and be partnering with, you know, one of these early kind of startup fintechs that doesn't have the backing or the credibility to be able to provide those services. I think for a bank, one of the things they have to consider is whether when they're looking at partnering with that type of fintech, are they prepared to invest in that fintech? Are they prepared to help ensure, you know, the longevity of that organization and really kind of, you know, partner with them on a financial perspective as well in terms of really investing in that company? Or are they looking for an established player, somebody that has credibility, you know, somebody that's been working with banking partners for a number of years, somebody who's global if they're looking to expand and grow their business across borders? I think they really need to be thinking about ensuring that the partner they work with you know, has that kind of longevity, credibility, and ability to actually scale with the bank's demands.
Great. Now, what can you tell me about the differences in outsourcing trends when comparing the US and UK market?
Yeah, I think it's quite an interesting one. I think historically what we've seen is in the US, and I think the research would indicate that the US banks typically are doing a lot more you know, outsourcing or partnering with other providers today. I think it's always one of those things. I love statistics because you can kind of manipulate them to say anything you want. But, you know, I think if you're looking at the comparisons, I think we're saying, you know, maybe 70% of the banks in kind of the UK and in Europe are looking to outsource or are outsourcing today. It's probably 78% in the US. So I think the difference isn't that huge. But I think historically, and probably it comes down to, I guess, the age of some of these providers and some of these banks, is there's a lot of outsourcing that's happened from day one, probably in the US market. I think what we see is that there are established platforms for processing credit cards and providing a lot of those services that a lot of those banks in the US are using today. Whereas in the UK, there's probably historically a lot more banks that have over the years built and invested in their own in-house solutions, their own systems. And that's probably what's holding them back, those legacy systems, from actually pushing down the outsourcing or the partnering path as quickly as perhaps they would like. One of the things I think is an interesting, you know, I guess, dynamic or something that's going to change that a lot is what we're seeing, and I'm sure all of us have been seeing it recently with the number of emails in our inbox around updated privacy and policies relating to kind of GDPR and some of the new regulatory changes coming out of Europe. But I think things like that and also the open banking initiative that really is driving out of that part of the world, I think is actually going to accelerate the use of fintechs and partnering in that region. So I think we're actually going to see that balance change a little bit. And I think we're going to see a lot more of the banks in Europe are actually going to be partnering and you know, working with different fintechs, either because you know, they're now driving and seeing the value of those changes, or through things like open banking, where effectively they're being forced to be opening up their systems and working with those providers. So I think, you know, historically the US has probably been a little bit ahead, but I do see that balance swinging a little bit in the near future.
Excellent. Now, as financial technology evolves, do you think, you know, banks will become reliant on partnering with fintech firms to avoid being left behind?
Absolutely. I mean, I think if you look across what's happening in the world we live in today, so many changes have been happening in technology in the last, you know, 5-10 years. You know, even probably 10-15 years ago, the thought of actually having a color mobile phone was crazy. You know, now you look at what you can do on those mobile devices, you look at the technology that's coming into different providers, you know, what's actually, you know, what you can do now online compared to what you could do in the future. That pace of change and the amount of innovation and technical advancement that's going on right now, if banks don't partner with that and don't embrace that and look to work with providers that can offer that little edge and the innovation and being able to provide those services, you know, I think they absolutely will be left behind. I don't think a lot of the banks have that ability in the house to be able to drive and deliver that level of innovation. So in my view, it's a little bit of a no-brainer that they are going to have to embrace a lot of those changes. They are going to have to partner with fintech firms and look at providing those services in a different way, because if they don't, then I think they absolutely will be left behind by the other banks that are looking to do that.
Great. Now, before we wrap things up here, well, taking a look at 2018 and beyond, what would you say from your point of view you're most excited about seeing within the space?
I think that's just the continual pace of change. And I think it's exciting every day to see the new partnerships that are emerging, the new fintechs that are actually lining up and working with banking partners. But I think just in terms of the ease of being able to get access to payments technology, the systems that are out there that provide that holistic view of being able to really get that visibility of spend. And I think probably what's the most exciting in the space that we play in, you know, with Freedom is really around the way that we're seeing that change in the commercial side of the banking space as opposed to the consumer. I mean, I think the consumer side is typically in the retail banking has really led the way in terms of a lot of those technical enhancements and advancements. I think what we're going to really start seeing now is a lot more of that drive on the commercial side of the business to be catching up to the kind of consumer and retail counterparts. So I think it's going to be exciting to see, you know, I mean, I guess the area that most of us spend most of our times in kind of the business world and how business systems and business banking is really going to be leaping forward in terms of capabilities as a lot of those banks realize that partnering with fintechs is absolutely the way forward for them.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Russell, for taking the time today for speaking to us about outsourcing, and we hope to have you back on the podcast real soon.
Thanks very much, Ron. It's been great.